I don't care, actually. It'll be okay. They'll be fine. They'll fix it. The people that need to fix it will fix it. Yeah. All right. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. How are you guys doing? Alhamdulillah. Alrighty. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa sirri amri. Wahlul uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbi zidni ilma. Rabbi zidni ilma. Rabbi zidni ilma. Welcome back to Exploring the Quran. Alhamdulillah, we have been talking about the story of Yusuf alayhi salam in Surah Yusuf, which is the 12th chapter of the Quran. And it's such a beautiful story because we're able to learn a lot about our faith by means of different things that occurred in the life of Yusuf alayhi salam. So today, inshallah, we're going to try our best to focus on verses 19 through 22. I say try our best because I actually have quite a bit of different things that I kind of want to talk about today. So I want to make sure that we get through it all, inshallah. So Yusuf alayhi salam, in the last portion of the surah, we talked about a little bit more about how his brothers did this deception. And that deception was telling their father that we just want to go out, we want to play with him, and we're going to, you know, take care of him. And then after it was all said and done, they ended up obviously not doing that, and throwing him into the well. And we've spent a great deal of time focusing on that last portion where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Yusuf alayhi salam that don't worry, you're going to talk to them again, and you're going to present to them something that they don't even know. Like, you're going to tell them about this moment while they don't even recognize that, you know, you are who you are. And so we're going to start now kind of from the end of that place, at that last portion, where we see the brothers come and they talk to Yaqub alayhi salam. And when they talk to Yaqub, they say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us or tells us, وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيسِهِ بِذَنْبٍ كَذِبٍ, that they came with the shirt, and the shirt had this false blood on it. قَالَ, and they said to their father that like the wolf ate him. And the response that the father gave was, بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا, that your soul enticed you to do something that is not good. فَصَبَرٌ جَمِيلٌ, so I'm going to have this beautiful patience. وَاللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانُ عَلَىٰ مَا تَصِفُونَ, and Allah is the one that I will seek help from what you guys create. So this is where our craft or the plan that you've made. So this is where we stop. Now, when we keep going into the story, you find that now it is going to the perspective of Yusuf alayhi salam. So now we're not going to be talking about much of what Yaqub alayhi salam was feeling, because we know where he's at. And he's in a place of deep despair, but like not losing hope. So he's in a place of like sadness because of what's happened to his son and him not knowing the outcome of what's going on with his son. But he has not lost hope from Allah in the least bit. And so there is that one aspect of him and that difficulty that Yaqub alayhi salam was feeling. But then there's this other second aspect, and that second aspect or perspective or point of view, you know, when you read a book and they have like different point of views for the characters. So this is like a different point of view. It's now we're able to see what Yusuf alayhi salam is experiencing. But imagine that you live in a house with your whole family, your kid, maybe like, let's say you're like 12, 13. How many of you guys have siblings? How many of you guys only kid, only child? No, only children. That's good. That's good. Okay? You know? They'll kind of ruin my whole analogy. Okay? So imagine like you're going to grow up in a house. You have your siblings. You have your family members, whoever. And it kind of keeps the house a little bit like loud, like hustle and bustling, essentially. And out of nowhere, now you're in a foreign place. Out of nowhere, you no longer have that companionship. Whether good or bad, whether you're beefing with your siblings or not, there's still noise that is around, right? You no longer have your parents. You no longer have the security of knowing this is my room. This is the place that I sleep. You don't have that security anymore. And so this is what Yusuf alayhi salam is facing. But instead of starting with the verses today, I kind of want to draw you guys back to a portion of the life of the Prophet salam where there's something very similar that is happening. And you know how we talked about one of the backgrounds of Surah Yusuf being revealed was in the year of sorrow, right? So during this time where the Prophet is experiencing grief, he's lost his mother, he's lost his wife, he's lost his uncle, And then on top of that, he goes to Ta'if, and like this incredibly terrible thing occurs where he's stoned and all of these things. So now you fast forward to a little bit later, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the command to the believers to migrate. So many people are migrating. So there's a story of Umar ibn Khattab, and his migration was very interesting because people were migrating in secret. And Umar ibn Khattab migrated with like 20 people. That means you're not migrating in secret. So Umar ibn Khattab was like, listen, okay, I'm gonna do what I gotta do, right? So you have the stories of Umar ibn Khattab, you have the start of the migration of Salama that doesn't end for a whole nother year. So she gets captured by her family and all these things. Then you have that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala who heard that the migration was now a thing that you had to do because it wasn't optional. Hijra was not optional. If you had the means and you could go, you were supposed to go. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had constantly been hinting at the Prophet ﷺ that he wanted to migrate with him after the permission of migration came. And the Prophet ﷺ then told him, don't worry, Abu Bakr, ya Abu Bakr, don't rush to go because Allah will give you a companion on this journey. But he didn't tell him who that companion would be. And the thing about Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we have narrations from the Prophet ﷺ where the Prophet ﷺ says that Abu Bakr Siddiq literally carried me. You know, he carried me with his wealth. He carried me with every single thing that he had, with his family, every aspect of who he was. And he really provided that support to the Prophet ﷺ. And so Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he really wanted to migrate with the Prophet ﷺ because of how much love he had for him, but also because of how much loyalty he had towards the faith. So in this time, the 7 p.m. alarm is back, okay? In this time, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, hearing what the Prophet ﷺ told him, that listen, you don't have to rush. You're gonna go, and it's gonna go at you're gonna go at a good time. And him hoping that time that he gets to go will be with the Prophet ﷺ, he went and he spent 800 dirham. He purchased 2 camels and a bunch of other necessary things for the journey, for hijrah. And he did this because he wanted to hopefully migrate with the Prophet. Then he went and he gave this camel to a keeper and told them, feed it, take care of it, take care of them, make sure they're ready. And when I give you the word, we got to go. So I know that when it happens, it's going to happen quickly. So the Prophet, he will visit Abu Bakr Siddiq in this time, especially every single day, because the Muslims are experiencing a lot of oppression. So he will come every day, but he will either come in the morning or the evening. Right? The early night. On this particular day, the Prophet ﷺ came, and he came to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu almost like in the middle of the night. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, knowing that the Prophet ﷺ was at the door, he felt like something was up. But there was like a bunch of things that could be up. There could be an assassination attempt, which we talked about last week, that led into the conversation of Hijra, which was true, right? There was an assassination attempt on the head of the Prophet ﷺ. So Abu Bakr Siddiq is obviously like nervous because, you know, someone calls you at 2 a.m., your first question is, are you okay? And if you have friends like mine, then their response is, yeah, I just wanted to show you this video I was watching. You're like, okay, relax, right? But the Prophet shows up and he's in there in the middle of the night, and Abu Bakr Siddiq is like, is everything okay? And Prophet says, yes, I've been given the command to migrate. And he's telling Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, before even telling him I've been given the command to migrate, he's asking him, like, is anybody home? I'm about Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's like, just my daughters and like my son, like my family is just here. And so he says, yes, I've been given the command to migrate. And Abu Bakr Siddiq then turned to him and he said, Ya Rasulullah, Asuhba Ya Rasulullah, can I accompany you? Can I come with you in this journey of migration? To which the Prophet ﷺ then said to Abu Bakr Siddiq, yes, you will be the one to come with me. Now, while all of this is happening, the Prophet ﷺ is still thinking about how we're going to migrate. Because it's not just like a journey that's down the street. You don't just hop in your car and you can just go. So Abu Bakr Siddiq invites the Prophet ﷺ to the innermost part of his home. And he basically takes him to the backyard and everything is there. The supplies that is needed to migrate. The 2 camels that they need. And in addition to that, he also had a guide that was there. Okay? So, like, it's like that friend that packs everything you need. You know, they don't leave a single thing unturned. Like, they pack you lunch, and then you're like, man, I really want something sweet. They're like, I got a cookie for you. You know, you're like, I could just hug you right now if I was a hugger, you know? Right? So that friend that has every single thing you need. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had everything. And not only that, he also had a plan. Because he knew that the Quraysh, once they found out that the Prophet had gone away, the first place they would come is to the home of Abu Bakr, because their friendship was not something that was hidden. And when they would come there, they would then ask a bunch of questions, of course, to the kids of Abu Bakr. So Asma was there, and she would answer. Like, Abu Jahl comes, he bangs on the door, he's like asking her and demanding her, where's your father? And she's not responding to him. She's like, I don't know where he is. He's like, you're going to tell me right now. She's not responding, and he smacks her. And she still doesn't give it up. She still does not tell him where they went. Why? Because this is the type of dedication and commitment that people had towards the deen. This is the faith that they had with the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'm going to be there for you. I got you. And sometimes when we know, or when we hear, or we feel like Allah got us, we think it means like it's going to be easy. And that's not necessarily what it means. Why? Because we're living in dunya. And dunya itself is not easy. The nature of it is that it's difficulty. It has trials and tribulations and hardships and things that you have to face. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salam, وَفَتَنَّاكَ فُتُونَا. Yes, like, don't get me wrong. I'm taking you down memory lane. I'm telling you that we did this for you. We did that for you. We did that for you. We brought you so many, like, so much good to your life. وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي. And I bestowed so much love onto you, especially from me. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then acknowledges and says, وَفَتَنَّاكَ فُتُونَا. Yeah, we've tested you and we've trialed you and we put you through it, like you went through it. But what? ثُمَّ جِتَّ عَلَىٰ قَدْرٍ يَا مُوسَىٰ. But you came here at this precise moment that Allah has decreed, O Moses. So essentially, Abu Bakr Siddiq's family knew that this was going to be something that was very difficult. The second thing that he prepped alongside his family was also his son, Abdullah. And his son was appointed to socialize in the community, okay? So he would go, you know, put his ears to the streets, see what someone is saying. Are they close? Are they getting warmer to where they're going? Essentially, what the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu did when they left for Hijrah, they didn't go directly to Medina. They actually went to Mount Thawl, okay? So they went into the cave Thawl. And when they went into the cave, they stayed there for 3 days. They stayed there for 3 days. Why? With the assumption that the Quraysh would go towards the route of Medina, and they would be 3 days off of their journey. So they stayed there. Now, we think of a cave. I don't know, anybody been to a cave before? Some of them are really spacious, and like they have really pretty water that's actually very toxic, and you should not jump into it, okay? And then some of them are really, really tight. Now, Cave Thawl is really tight. So it was very tiny. It was very small. And look at the dedication of Abu Bakr Siddiq. When the Prophet ﷺ and him were going into this cave, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu started wiping around the cave with his hand. And the Prophet ﷺ asked him, yeah, Abu Bakr, what are you doing? And he said that, I know that in caves there are like scorpions and like all of these things. Do you guys have a friend that dedicated? That's the question. He's like, I know that there are harmful things in here. So I'm wiping my head around to see, to make sure that you're okay. So when they got into this cave for the first night, like Abdullah was supposed to, he would come in the nighttime and he would update his father about all the things that they had said. This is one group of people are going down this route, the other group of people are going down that route. So this is what was happening. When it got to the second day or the second night, there were a group of bounty hunters, and they were amongst the Quraysh that came. And they sent this really young boy up the mountain towards the cave. And when they sent him there, they wanted him to check inside of every single like cave opening to make sure that they weren't there. So the Prophet ﷺ was sitting there, and he's very calm. He's very calm. And the boy's voice is getting closer and closer and closer. And it gets to the point where now Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's very nervous and he's sweating and he's shaking, and he turns to the Prophet ﷺ and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm having trouble not making noise, because he was breathing really heavy. And it was almost like he was kind of almost panicking a little bit. And so he was so stressed. And the Prophet placed his hand on the hand of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he said to him something so powerful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us in Surah Tawbah. He says to him that, what do you say about two people when the third person or the third being there is Allah? Like, Allah got you. And what's important about this is that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu in that moment, right, was feeling this anxiety of like, man, we're all alone. We don't have anybody here. There's nobody to distract them, to take them off the scent. There's nobody to like throw a pebble. Maybe they'll go run somewhere else, right? They were feeling so alone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُهُ فَقَدَ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ, that whether or not someone helps them, whether or not someone helps him, whether or not you help him, whether or not anybody helps the messenger of Allah, then know that Allah will help him. And then he says, إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, when those who disbelieve exiled them from their home, ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ, and it was two of them, إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ, and they both were in the cave, إِذْ يَقُولُ, when he said, referring to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِصَاحِبِهِ, and he didn't just say this to the person that he was with, he said it to his companion, when he said it to his friend, when he said it to the person that was right there, in the thick of it with him, he said, لَا تَحْزَن, don't be sad. Don't be sad. Don't be scared. Don't have this extreme emotion. Why? Inna Allaha ma'ana. Because indeed Allah is with us. It may seem like we're alone. And it may seem like there's nothing that can help us in this moment. But Allah is the one who can help us. Now, I brought up the story of Ta'if very briefly today. But we started this series actually with the story of Ta'if. But you see how the response now is very different from the response in Ta'if? Because when the Prophet ﷺ was experiencing that difficulty and that hardship in Ta'if, and he was there and they stoned his feet, and Zayd comes, Zayd bin Haritha comes, and he's trying to help him, and the Prophet ﷺ is like, no, go away. What does the Prophet ﷺ do? He's like in this intense moment of emotion. He's sitting down on a tree trunk. His feet is bloody. He has been stoned. He's going through grief. It's difficulty after difficulty. Like when it rains, it truly pours. But what does he say? He says, Allahumma ilayka ashku da'fa quwwati. Allah, is only to you that I complain of the weakness of my strength. Wa qillata hilati, and the lack of support. Wa hawani ala nasi, and the humiliation that I'm facing in front of people. Ya arhamar rahimin, O the one who's also ever so compassionate and the most merciful. Anta rabbul mustada'afin, you're the Lord of those who are weak and those who people put down. Wa anta rabbi, and you are my Lord. Ila man takiluni, who are you going to leave me to and give power over me? إِلَىٰ بَعِيدٍ يَتَجَهَّمُنِي, to people who are so far away from kindness, they just have so much hostility. أَمْ إِلَىٰ عَدُوٍ مَلَّكَتَهُ أَمْرِي, or is it to the one who truly hates me, the enemy, that you will give them control over me? إِنْ لَمْ يَكُمْ بِكَ عَلَيَّ غَدَمٌ فَلَا أُبَالِي, but if you're not angry with me, If your anger is not on me, then guess what? It's okay. There's no concern. We'll do it again. وَلَكِنَّ عَافِيَتَكْ هِيَ أَوْسَعُ لِي, your protection is more vast for me than anything. The Prophet ﷺ teaches us what it means to learn a lesson. He teaches us what it means to learn a lesson. Because the type of grief and difficulty that the Prophet ﷺ is facing in Ta'if, you would say it's very similar to what he could have been facing during the migration. He had to leave his home. He had to leave everything behind. He couldn't even properly like leave his home, actually. You know, he had to leave his son-in-law in his bed while people wanted to kill him. Can you imagine that type of stress and anxiety that someone could be in? But the Prophet ﷺ teaches us what it means to grow from a situation. He's sitting at Ta'if, And he's actually truly alone in that moment. And he's on the trunk of a tree. And he's asking Allah, he's begging, he's talking, he's communicating to God. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows him that Allah is always there with you. And that's setting him up for this moment here in the cave of Tawr. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ, how is he able to have this type of strength in talking to Abu Bakr? It is not just that these people are like right there. It's that they wanted them dead or alive. The bounty was you killed them 100,000 camels. That is like someone giving you 8 Lamborghinis fully paid off. That's wealth, right? That's you setting up your great-great-grandchildren. It is wealth. So when it comes to money, people will do the worst things to get paid. The worst things. Do you think they cared that the Prophet ﷺ had children? Do you think they cared that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu had children? They didn't care. When Abu Jahl slaps Asma, she was pregnant. She was expecting a child. Did he care? He did not care. So how is the Prophet ﷺ so calm in this moment? Well, all of it is connected. He learns from the situations that Allah had put him in before. That every single trial and tribulation that a person goes through is a learning moment for you. It is a blessing. Why? Because there's so much character to be built. And I know we say that as a joke, well, it builds character. But no, it truly does. You know what else it builds? Faith. You know what else it builds? Resilience. You know what else it builds? Sabr. Patience, grit, the ability to keep pushing and keep going. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that a result of this, the Prophet I'm telling this to Abu Bakr Siddiq was, فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this tranquility and this just like sense of calmness on him. وَأَيَّدَهُ بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا, and he aided them with an army that they couldn't see. Aided them in a way that they thought was impossible. وَجَعَلَ كَلِمَةَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا السُّفْلَى, and he made the words that the disbelievers would say, like, you guys are lowly, you're going to be killed, you're going to be nothing, nobody's going to remember you. He made that to be like nothing, like dust. وَكَلِمَةَ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْأُولِيَا, and the words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, the promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, it reigns supreme. Why? Wallahu azizun hakim. Because Allah in and of himself is almighty. And Allah in and of himself is all wise. And so I brought the story of Hijra because I think it's important in light of the situation of Yusuf alayhi salam and that loneliness that he's feeling, for us to know that even in your darkest and the most lonely moments of your life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, but we have a responsibility of showing up. And so now we get to this portion of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. And it says that now that he's inside of the cave, he's inside of the well, it's time for us to see from his perspective. And it says, وَجَاءَتْ سَيَّارَةٌ, that a caravan of travelers, they came. فَأَرْسَلُوا وَارِدَهُمْ, and they sent like they sent down the bucket to go and draw some water. فَأَدْلَى أَدْلَوَى, so they sent down the bucket to draw some water. And when they sent the water boy, so they sent a water boy to go and get the bucket to draw some water. I know you guys all went to the movie Water Boy, not that type of water boy. He wasn't a water boy for like sports, okay? He went to the well to get water. And it says, قَالَ يَا بُشْرَيَا. He gets so excited because he puts the bucket into the well. Anybody use a well before? I did once, almost fell in. Clumsy people should not. Yeah, I almost met my Lord quick, okay? And I tried to do it a second time. Girl, my mom was like, girl, get in the house, okay? So he puts the bucket, you put the bucket in, goes all the way down, then you get the water, and then comes up. So when he brings it up, it's kind of heavy. It comes up, there's a whole boy in it. So he gets so excited, he says, Ya Bushraya, Bushraya means good news. Ya means you're calling a person. So usually you say, Ya Fatima, oh Fatima. That's how you would call a person. Ya Bushraya, I'm calling good news. Oh, good news? That doesn't make any sense. You can't call good news. Essentially, he was so excited of what he saw. He's like, this is the best thing ever. Like, this is incredible. Hada ulamun. So it's a young man. Wa asarruhu bida'atan. So then they went and they sold this boy. They went and they hid him like a piece of merchandise because they didn't want anybody to come and like claim him. So they said, okay, we're going to just put him in. Wallahu alimun bima ya'malun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly knew what they were doing. Washarahu bithamanin bakhsin darahima. And they then went and they sold him for something that was like nothing. Ma'adudatin. It was like a small amount. Some mufassirun, they actually even say that they sold him for like counterfeit money. Like it was like they sold him and then what they got back was like not even real. So they couldn't even use it. Others say they sold him for two robes and a pair of slippers. Like not realizing how valuable what they had was, right? Not only that he was a human being, obviously, but in addition to that, like Yusuf alayhi salam is a prophet. And he's going to be someone, spoiler alert, that people are going to be seeking him to come and like give answers to their dreams, and we need them, and we need him in the court, and he needs to be this leader and this like prince and all of these things. But it's important for us to learn that just because someone does not value you doesn't mean Allah does not value you. And I think that is an issue that a lot of us have, that we're constantly seeking the value of who we are or who our personality, what our personality is, or what type of character we should have based off of the interpretation or the expectation of someone else. But we don't ever really take into account what Allah expects from us, when he's actually the one who's al-Khaliq. He's the one who created us. So your creator is telling you, hey, you're so valuable. You're the most valuable creation. Why? Because that's what he says about human beings. That he says, لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. I have given honorability, decorum, respect, this level of dignity to the children of Adam, to human beings. But we go and we make ourselves lowly based off of someone else's opinion. Even worse, based off of someone's comment on the internet. You don't think of yourself to be valuable. And so here we see an actual situation where Yusuf alayhi salam is being sold for something that is like nothing in comparison to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has him in value of. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. And they considered that he had no value. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say that they made it that he had no value. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say that. He says, وَكَانُوا, and this is what their true thought was, فِيهِ, that when it came to him, when it came to Yusuf, مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ, he was of the things that had little to no value. Like he could have been left to the wayside and they would have been okay with it. But when Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers were trying to plot against him, the older brother said what to him? The older brother said, don't go and kill him. Rather, go cast him away and let somebody else deal with it. Cast him away. You remember it was like leaving something to the side that you felt like had no value? And that's exactly what they did to Yusuf alayhi salam. They cast him away as if he had no value. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ لَذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِنَ الْمَصْرِ, that the one who brought him from the city said to his wife, لِإِمْرَأَتِهِ أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ, that give him a very noble place in the home. Okay? Give him a noble place in the home. And then he says, Asa in yanfa'ana, that maybe this young boy will provide some type of benefit to us. Oh, natakhidahu waladan. Or maybe we can take him as a child. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسَفَ فِي الْأَرُضِ. And this is how we gave Yusuf alayhi salam a place in the land. Now, this is actually the start of Yusuf alayhi salam's story. Because all of the back end, all of the things that happened before this was very much so the story of Yaqub alayhi salam. It was very much so the difficulty of Yaqub alayhi salam and the hardship of Yaqub alayhi salam. Now we get into what Yusuf alayhi salam is experiencing. But as we get into that, it's important for you guys to remember that loneliness that Yusuf alayhi salam could be experiencing in this time. And it's important to realize that there are so many people in the life of Yusuf alayhi salam that kept devaluing him. From the moment, from his brothers, to the people who sold him, to now the home that he's in. But what did this he was actually a minister, the minister said. He literally says, give him a noble place in the home because we want to use him, give some benefit. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِنْ تَعْوِيلِ الْأَحَدِيثِ. Oh yeah, and there's also something else that we wanted to do for him. We wanted to teach him how to interpret dreams. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to teach Yusuf alayhi salam that while he was in a well, and let's think about it, he was like, most narrations say like 11, it wouldn't be any benefit to him, actually. Because he may not have ended up in the place that he needed to end up in for the life journey that Allah had him set up for. Because somebody can ask, well, why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that the Prophet didn't go to Ta'if first, he just went straight to Medina? He would have avoided the whole difficulty in Ta'if. But you remember how we talked about perhaps the difficulty of Ta'if is very similar to the difficulty of Hijrah? And maybe if the Prophet had not experienced that difficulty of Ta'if, he wouldn't have known how to experience the difficulty going to making the Hijrah. And imagine Abu Bakr Siddiq, or imagine Salama, or imagine Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Imagine all of them, they gave up halfway through their journey of Hijrah. Then what would Medina be to us today? That's the question. They know what the Prophet experienced in Ta'if. They know the loneliness he experienced in Ta'if. They know the dua that he made. They know how Allah came and helped him. They know about the conversion of Adas. They know about all the ways that Allah had given the Prophet this refuge and this saving. And that gave strength to them on their journey. So I say this to you all. What are the difficulties that you've gone through in your life? And the hardships and the times that you felt so alone, not realizing that Allah was giving you strength by means of other people. It is actually a reality that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts community in your life. And maybe they're not your closest friends, okay? That's okay. Maybe they're not your BFF, they're not your sister, it's okay. But there's someone, there's something that Allah has given you, has placed in you, and placed in your life for you to find that means of strength, for you to keep going, so that he can place you in the place that you're in this world, and he can give you the blessing that you're meant to receive. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَكَذَلِكَ and thus مَكَنَّا يُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ We made him stable. We established him. We gave him this position in the land. وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِنْ تَعْوِيلِ الْأَحَدِيثِ. Because it was meant for him to go through that to unlock the next part of his life. And that is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach him what is his gift. Prophets, different prophets came with different gifts. And they came with different miracles. Musa alayhi salam came with the staff. The Prophet ﷺ came with the Quran. Yusuf ﷺ got the gift of interpreting dreams. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him, you came here at this moment. Why? So Allah can give you this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu ghalibun ala amrihi. Walakinna akthara nasi la ya'lamun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always have victory in whatever he promises. In every single purpose that God has set forward, Allah would carry out that purpose. And people, they just don't realize it. If you pay attention to the strength that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you, you can actually get through anything in life. But when you forget that the ability to get through life is not based off of your own ability, but based off of what God has given you, you will fall short every single time. And the reason why this is important is because you cannot save the world by thinking that you're the one who can do it. You really can't. It's going to be overwhelming. You think about your to-do list for tomorrow, and you're like, nap. Forever, actually. But who carries you through the day? It's certainly not your coffee, let me tell you that. It's certainly not your matcha, let me tell you that. It's certainly not your own ability, let me tell you that. It is Allah. Allah is the one who carries you through your day-to-day. So don't you think, and don't you reflect, that in the difficulties and the hardships and the times that you feel lonely, that Allah is there to carry you through? It's important to have that reflection. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ, and when Yusuf alayhi salam, he reached أَشُدَّهُ, he reached an age of maturity. And that age of maturity is like he reached a time, like he reached puberty, but he also reached the age of being able to decipher right and wrong, right? So he reached a very cognitive time in his life. أَتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. We gave him two things. We gave him wisdom, and the beauty of the word wisdom is that it's actually like judgment, okay? Because knowledge, and ilma, and we gave him knowledge. And knowledge is all fine and dandy if you're like the type of person that likes to give like a bunch of just a list of things. You know, like those fact check people. They're like, did you know that there's like 800 million different types of rocks in the world? And you're like, I didn't know, and I don't know what this is useful for, but okay. So someone can have a lot of information, but that doesn't actually mean anything. Your knowledge is information. Your wisdom is how to use it. So you ever been in a situation where maybe it's like really awkward, like a really, we've all had awkward situations before, okay, relax, right? It's like really awkward. And in that moment, someone says something that is true, but it makes the situation worse. That is called an unwise human being. That is called a person who has knowledge, but they do not have wisdom. And what we know of prophets is that they have knowledge, but they also have wisdom. They know when to say something. They know how to say something. And your wisdom helps you tap into your understanding of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to you. Because logically, when you're going through it and the tough is toughing and you're down bad, your logical mind tells you, oh, this is the worst case scenario. There has never been a moment that I've had a good time in my life. I've never seen happiness before. Like, you're just down bad in the trenches of your mind. Your wisdom takes you out of it. Your wisdom is what tells you, actually, maybe think about it from this perspective. It tells you maybe it's not actually the worst thing that's ever happened to you. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that he gave Yusuf alayhi salam both. وَأَتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. But these are not things that are unlocked just by existing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that thus, this is how we reward those who have ihsan. Muhsinin. A muhsin is someone who knows or who does right by the cards that they've been dealt. Right? If ihsan is to worship Allah as if you can see him. But even though you cannot see him, you know that he can see you. And it truly means to have depth in your action. It is to do something with the best of intention. It is to do something in the best possible way that you can. And essentially, what we know of this is that my ihsan looks very different from someone else's, right? A person who maybe doesn't have a job, maybe they slept 10 hours at night, okay? And maybe they have a meeting the next day at 9 a.m. and they get there exactly at 9 a.m., that is their ihsan. Why? Because that's the cards that they've been dealt. They were able to get the sleep that they needed. They were able to, you know, they didn't have last minute things that they need to fix up. And they got there at exactly 9 a.m. Or let's say they even get there 8:45. That's their ihsan. They beautified it. They put more effort into that. Someone maybe, let's say, I know my friends with kids, they like to use their kids as excuses. So I love to do that too. Someone who has kids, trying to get the kids out the house. Right? Everybody get ready. Let's go. You finally get one kid together. The other kid then ran off. Right? Or maybe someone doesn't have kids, but they have parents that they live with and trying to get their parents out the house. It's a little tough too. Or maybe you just have a job, you're trying to get out, it's really hard. And maybe that person gets there at 9:10. Guess what? Is that their ihsan? That's their ihsan. Why? Because they tried their best. They weren't just sitting down, chilling, and twiddling their thumbs, and then they're like, oh man, it's 9 o'clock, I need to go make it to the place, it's 10 minutes away. No, that's what ihsan is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when a person has this level of ihsan, when the person has ihsan, and they do the best with what they've been dealt, then for them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with more knowledge of who He is, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with wisdom. He blesses them with the ability to be able to get through the difficulty. He blesses them with the ability to be able to weather the storm. And it's so important that we recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never put something on us that we cannot bear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not put a burden on a soul greater than it can bear. What's interesting is actually, لا يكلف الله نفسا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not put the weight of responsibility illa wus'aha, except which is within the capacity of a person. You know what's interesting about capacity is that it actually grows. A person's capacity can grow. And capacity also is a little tough, because just because it's kind of heavy to weigh all of these different things and balance it, doesn't mean it's not within my capacity. You see what I'm saying? Your capacity can be filled to the rim. Your cup can be up here, it's full, but it's not spilling over, which means you can do what? You can hold it. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, hey, guess what? You're growing. And sometimes growth is a little uncomfortable. Sometimes it's a lot uncomfortable. But if you're growing in the direction that Allah wants you to grow in, then who are we to say, hey, God, I don't want to grow anymore? Who are we to block off the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for us? So it's important to remember that. And it's also important to remember that Allah is the one who's in control. So whether you want to go through this or not, newsflash, it's going to happen. So what does that mean? It's either I carry this burden with grace, right? Or I carry it in a way that incurs sin. And the way that incurs sin is by losing hope in Allah. But the way that you carry it with grace is by knowing, كُلْ لَنْ يُسِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا, that there is nothing that will afflict us, nothing that will come to us, nothing that will be on our plate, except that that is what Allah has written for us. هُوَ مَوْلَانَا, that He is our protector. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, and it's upon Allah that we, the believers, should put our trust. In a narration that is a narration of which is a hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallam, and to tell us that ana inda dhanni abdi bi, that I am how my servant thinks of me. And if you think of Allah to be the one in control, you think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the one who holds your capacity, you think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the one who can help you out, you think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the one who's there when you feel the loneliest, then you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. You will find Him there. And I know that sounds like positivity, mumbo jumbo type of stuff, but it's really truly not. It's truly not, because if you don't start thinking about God, you're not going to find Him. If you just want to randomly walk into a store and happen to find what you're looking for, that's a chance that you're taking. But if you want to truly have a relationship with Allah, and you want to be intentional about your relationship with Allah, it starts by thinking about Allah. This is why dhikr is so important. Because dhikr is your remembrance, it is your reminder, it is your thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last thing that I want to share, also it's really dark outside, but it's not Maghrib time. Okay, I'm tripping. The last thing that I want to share is that in this realm of understanding trial and tribulation, it's so important. Like Yusuf alayhi salam is in this situation. He gets into the bucket, right? The bucket didn't happen to scoop him. Okay? If the narration says he's 11 years old and they put a bucket down into a well, the bucket probably hit him in the head or something. Like, he got into the bucket. You have to put in your effort. When Maryam alayhi salam is having a child, okay, she's having a child, unwarranted, did nothing to deserve a child, unwarranted, not deserved like in a bad way, like more so like this was actually a difficulty for her. So she's unwarrantedly having a baby, and she's sitting there and she's stressed and she's in distress, right? And she says, "Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha wa kuntu nasyan mansiya." Oh, how I wish I died before this moment and I was long forgotten. She's going through it. She is going through it. People have family around them when they give birth. She has no one around her. She's alone. She's by herself. And then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell her? He tells her there's a river beneath you. And he says, وَخُزِّي إِلَيْكَ بِجِذِئِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاكِتَ عَلَيْكِ رُتَبًا جَنِيًّا. Take the date palm tree, shake it. Okay, shake the date palm tree, and you will find that fresh dates will come down. Shake the date palm tree. She's having a baby. That takes a lot. That in and of itself means you can't shake anything. Okay? But she's having a baby. It's a date palm tree. It is not a fig tree, even though fig trees are strong too. It is not a snake plant. It is not a branch. It is a date palm tree. Do you know how thick those things are? The way that people get dates down is actually by scaling and climbing up. It is not by shaking it and things are falling down. But what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling her? Put in that effort. You shake it. It's not about the ability. It's about that striving. You strive, and guess what Allah gives you? So much more. You put in a little bit of effort, a little bit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you so more than you can even imagine. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. And as for those who strive, and they put in their effort for us, for Allah, they are consistent, and they try, and they try. And guess what? Jahadu doesn't mean that you just were strolling through your difficulty. You're like, oh yeah, I'll just tap a little here and God will save me. Tap a little. No, it means you were sweating and it was hard. And there were some days you were throwing yourself at the prayer rug and you were really feeling that difficulty, but you were really trying to get out of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. We will surely guide them to our path. You put in a little bit of effort and Allah will give you so much more. Inna Allaha lama'a al-muhsinin, because indeed Allah is with those who do good. Muhsin again. He's with those who put in the best that they can with the effort and the cards that they have been dealt. So what we learn from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam today is, number one, you're actually never alone. Okay? Inna Allaha ma'ana, that Allah truly is with us. He's truly with us. And even in moments where someone may make you try to make you feel like you're alone, try to make you feel like Allah is not there, Allah has shown us with everything around us. He has shown us with the people that He's put in our lives. He has shown us with the blessings that He has blessed us with, that He has never left us alone. So that's the first thing, is that we need to fix our mindset. And we need to make sure that we remind ourselves of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly is, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that I am to my servant how my servant thinks of me. Number two, your small effort that you think is so tiny is big in the eyes of Allah. So keep it going. If today the only thing that you can manage is praying your 5 daily prayers, pray them. If today the only thing you can manage is, okay, I prayed, maybe I can make a little more dua today, make that dua. But make sure you're pushing yourself. If today the only thing you can manage is your sadaqah, and maybe your sadaqah is not a lot, it's like $2, give that $2. Put in that effort, because the companions did not get us all here by not putting in effort. They all sacrificed and they did so much for us to be able to be in comfort and learning about our deen 1400 something years later. The third thing that is very important is that remind yourself that Allah is in control, that you don't actually have control over this difficulty. If it was up to us, the moment a problem arises, we shall swipe to the left and keep it out. Be like, actually, not today, not really feeling you, new problem, maybe next week, not this one. If it was up to us, we'll choose our difficulty. That's what we would. And we're human, so we would choose something easy. You'd be like, you know what? I don't struggle with drinking water. My difficulty is going to be drinking water, right? You would choose something that is easy for you to do. It's not up to us. It is up to Allah. And the last thing, number four, is remember that every single situation that you're in is a learning moment. So be a student of life. Every single situation that you're in, it is a learning moment. So why not be a student of life? This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. We gave him wisdom, and we gave him knowledge. Why? Because that is what he attained out of his difficulty. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to benefit from everything that we heard here today. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us of our shortcomings, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to be people who are people of the book, people of the Quran and the scripture. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to gather in a gathering much better than this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to drink from the blessed hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters us all into Jannah to Firdaus, and those of our family members and our community members around the world who are experiencing difficulty and hardship, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviates their difficulty and their hardship, and the oppressors, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with them in whatever way that he sees fit. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.